Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. From all over the world, people are watching on this particular live stream, or they're listening and sharing the information. We have a powerful program for you today, a Thinking Person's program. And what's good is, after Health and Nutrition, which I'm video streaming live, we're going to go to a couple of really powerful clips. One is on the psychology of mass indoctrination. And I believe, and you'll have a chance to share your points of view, that those who have taken advantage, now mind you, let's be very careful what I'm trying to share with you in proper context. You're going to hear information today from a Dr. Peter McCullough, who is going to be talking about the truth about everything involving COVID. But more importantly, he is one of about 30 individuals around the world, investigative journalists, scientists, physicians, who are beginning to ask a deeper question. They already know how to do early treatment. They're saving thousands of lives individually, each doctor is. And then collectively, millions of lives are being saved because they're using FDA-approved, safe drugs. And there's now about almost 30 of them, including monoclonal antibodies, which you should get immediately, and as well as ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and then other drugs that can stop the virus from replicating, protect your body. Then there are those nutrients that they all recommend that are in the peer-reviewed journals, and go to GaryNall.com, download the articles on protocols for preventing COVID and its variants, and protocols from the frontline doctors when you've contracted COVID to save your life. It is our belief at this moment that about 85% of all lives that have been lost, that's over 800,000 in the United States and millions worldwide, would have been saved had this type of intelligent, scientifically based, public health wise protocol been used. I can't tell you how many people have contacted my office to get help, but also how many people have been sick, but because they were following the preventative protocols, they had very short, mild illnesses and recovered. All right? We have been inundated with people whose lives have been saved or improved. But that's not what these people are looking at now. Now, here's where it gets tricky, and we're going to give you a timeline. We've posted it on GaryNall.com. It's 30 pages long. And it's accurate. It shows you all the people working on different vaccines, on doing gain-of-function research. And this was long before the COVID-19 was discovered, years before. And the people who were funding it, like Anthony Fauci and the head of the division working at the University of North Carolina on gain-of-function research, which Fauci was funding, and all the other labs working on this. It shows you real, legitimate, honest, historically accurate timelines. But some of these people now are putting them together. And when they put them together, from their point of view, it shows that there was a conspiracy. Now, there are those who will say, like myself, that we cannot yet prove that they created this with the intent of changing society. We have that. I do not see that proof. But what I do see is an enormous amount of circumstantial evidence that they took advantage of COVID, at the very least. And think of all the companies that have made billions, tens of billions, will make hundreds of billions of dollars because of how they exploited their power, their position, their investments in the science, in scientific institutions, and in the vaccines and medications. So whichever one are correct, that's a story that needs to be told. And it's being told by numerous people, including a woman we're going to have on, who is an award-winning investigative journalist out of Australia that's just published a magnificent book on this. And she spent the last 2 years getting all the documentation, including people inside Wuhan labs that gave her inside information. So, anyhow, we're gonna look at how did we, the public, prevent ourselves from accepting that any of this was possible. We were conditioned. We were, in effect, we were propagandized. How did they do it? How did they do it with people who are highly educated or people who have strong wills? That's what one of the guests in part two, you saw a short clip of part one, part two. This is really exciting. This is deep diving. This is intelligent. You got to listen carefully. And then we'll open it up for your calls. I'm going to try to set aside about 10 minutes for you to call us with your opinions at 888-874-4888. I'll also be giving you the latest actual documentation, conservative as it is, that shows hundreds of young, healthy, no disease, ideally immune strong people who took the vaccines and dropped dead, all from the same reasons: heart attacks, microstrokes, the major strokes, embolisms, there's no scientific explanation, because in the scientific study they then posited how many of these people die normally in a year. And it was a small, tiny number. And then when you see how many have died after taking the vaccine, it is a huge number compared. We can no longer allow the authorities to deny their culpability and the vaccine makers their responsibility. So I'm just providing you with the facts. What you do with them will be up to you. But when I come back, you won't be seeing me, because the feed that we're getting the technology in to be able to do both simultaneously. So when you call in, and the rest of the program will be on just the microphone without the video. Oh, and by the way, as I said yesterday, I showed you my way I deal with my hair, taking a teaspoon of coconut oil, teaspoon of olive oil, rubbing your hands together and massaging it through. And I said that tomorrow morning you'll see the difference. Well, I don't blow out my hair, and I don't put anything on it. So this is what it looks like when I get out of the shower, which I just did, and it dries. I just go like this with my hands. That's it. that's the cheap hairstyling. The finger hairstyling, you just run your fingers through your hair. But look at the thickness. It's thick and full, it's growing, it's got nice sheen to it. The protocol I'm going to be doing shortly. It's a long protocol. I can't just say a few things. It's like 6 pages long. All right? But I use myself as a human guinea pig to see if it works. And it's sure working for me. Fingernails, hard, pink, and smooth. Toenails the same. Skin, no Botox here. But you also could do the same if you want to. That's it. So now we're going to the latest on health and healing. From the University of California, San Francisco, and the Australian National University, they did a study, and they wanted to find out about vitamin D. Now, I believe that they were half right, but even that half right is very important, because they're official organizations, and they're saying that vitamin D helps prevent multiple sclerosis. Now, you've heard at least 4 different people call in, and I know these people, I work with them, all who had advanced, even end-stage multiple sclerosis, and today are completely normal, healthy, walking, athletic. Their neurology exams show they're clear, the spinal column good, the myelin on their sheaths are intact. How they do that? One of the many pieces in that was vitamin D, but not just from sunlight, because they're suggesting that when people get 15 minutes of sunlight, that it helps them with the stimulating the immune cells in the skin that have a protective role in disease such as multiple sclerosis. They are correct. Vitamin D also can change the biological function of the immune cells, and as such, play a role in protecting against autoimmune disease. They are also correct. That's why everyone with an autoimmune disease, I have on vitamin D, but not just from sun. Sun is great, but from supplementation, because then you can control every day, 7 days a week, how much you are getting. And in fact, 19% of the participants with multiple sclerosis before the study, compared to only 6% of those without the disease, in comparison with spending less than 30 minutes outdoors during the previous summer. And 30 minutes to an hour per day spent outdoors was associated with a 52% lower chance of acquiring multiple sclerosis, and that's phenomenal. That's with 1 to 2 hours daily. But let's face it, a lot of people, they cover up a lot when they go out, and they wear sunscreens, and I understand, skin cancer is a big deal, and because you're getting high ambient ultraviolet radiation exposure during the summer, and that can help protect against a lot of disease, including the flu, because it's building your immune system. You just don't want to overdo it. So that's good news. Also, something that we don't think about is, what does stress do? I knew a person who had a normal blood pressure, 120 over about 65, got very stressed, went in for a regular exam, got the white coat syndrome, meaning you look at all these people walking around with white coats, stethoscope, and you know, all serious, and just at a subconscious level, boom, up goes your stress hormones. Well, when those stress hormones go up, your blood pressure can go right behind it, and it can stay up there. People who are highly stressed generally have very high blood pressure. Even with medications, hard to bring it down, which makes you more susceptible to a heart attack or stroke. So we want to have normal blood pressure. So two things. Before you go see your doctor for any reason, meditate and put your mind at ease. That's important. Shyam Bhatnagar, who's been a friend for, wow, a long time. I remember the first time he came into my studio, in a real handsome-looking guy. He's originally from India. His brother's a physician. He has got a very, in fact, I believe it was his brother or his father who was friends with Gandhi or even treated Gandhi. Anyhow, he has a wonderful story to tell, and he's the one who brought chakra to the United States. I mean, he's the one who popularized it. And deep breathing and controlling your breathing and rhythmic breathing to help you lower your blood pressure, lower your blood sugar, de-stress yourself. He was the one who created all that. There was no one before him. There were people promoting yoga and a little transcendental meditation, but no one did what he did, and he deserves the credit for that. And I haven't spoken to him in about a year and a half. Hopefully he is well. He lives out in New Hope, New Jersey. And if you ever have a chance to go to any of his lectures or workshops, do so, because they're worth it. In any case, I would see people with high blood pressure, and he'd bring it right down just with breathing. So your breath is very important. Keeping calm is important. Because what's going to happen is it messes up your hippocampus, H-I-P-P-O-C-A-M-P-U-S, hippocampus. That's part of your brain. Now, the Polish Academy of Sciences showed that stress can endanger your hippocampus, and that's not good. And this was published in the highly respected PLOS One, and because social stress, now think of the social stress now. Are you vaccinated? No, sir. Go away. Better still, go into that place over there and stay with all the others who are not, because you're a danger to society. But, sir, the scientific studies actually show that those who have been most vaccinated are the ones who are spreading the variant. They're creating the variant. The variant comes from the vaccine. Don't get smart with me. We have worse we can do. You can't fly. That's what they want. There's laws being passed right now in New York State that are draconian. I'll deal with that on tomorrow's program or the next program. So think of just the social stress of where do you go when you go to a city like New York, for example, where you can't go into restaurants, you can't go anyplace. It historically made the cities the mecca of cultural achievement. No. And people on the street will frequently fear you. So that's social stress. Think of your child. Your child now feeling that something's wrong with them if they don't want to wear a mask or haven't yet been vaccinated, or something's wrong with their parents. All these stresses we're faced with today can modify the hippocampus transcription, and that's not good. It's the transcription stress response have been correlated with the altered inflammatory function. For example, if you have infiltration of leukocytes in the brain, socially, let's say, in this case, mice that were socially isolated, the fact that both the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex stress mice led the researchers to believe that chronic stress may impact the whole brain. And indeed it does, because I did a whole documentary on it, I did a book on it, I've written articles on it, I just published a peer-reviewed journal on it. So everything you can do to de-stress, do so. Being close to nature, watching funny movies, going to a comedy club, being able to have a pet. Anything that can de-stress you is good. So do it. Also, a popular antioxidant is now linked to pain relief. University of Naples in Italy. People with pain of unknown causes who took alpha, that's ALPHA, lipoic, L-I-P-O-I-C, acid, also called ALA, experienced less pain than a placebo group in a double-blind placebo-controlled study published in Biomedicine and Pharmacology. Now, I know how good it is if you have viral infections, alpha-lipoic acid, and if you want a really super great antioxidant that works inside the cell, trapping free radicals, and outside the cell, it does all that. So, and also as part of the different nutrient combinations that help our body make glutathione, the very important detoxifying substance in our liver. So, something to help for pain. And also, from the University of Wollongong in Australia, why an avocado may be the key to a healthy life and a slim waist. They did some research on this, and they wanted to see the link between a healthy diet and healthy outcomes, and they were working on this for years. And in one of the scientific papers published in the prestigious British Journal of Nutrition, they find a correlation between avocado consumption and lower body weight and smaller waist circumference. So, and by the way, always do this when you buy avocados. It takes generally 2 to 3 days for them to ripen, and they can grow in your backyard, by the way. Is you spray your veggie wash on the avocado, massage it, rinse it, spray, rinse, massage 3 times, then cut it, then rinse it again, because a lot of people don't realize when you're cutting avocado, if your knife isn't sterile, whatever bacteria or parasites you have in the knife blade is going to cut through the skin and go right on and smear itself on the flesh. So when I'm in a store the other day and I see they're making guacamole, and they're using the right ingredients. They're using, you know, the raw onion and garlic and cayenne, and all that's good. But then I'm watching them take the avocado out of a box and just kind of spray them like this. That's not doing diddly squat. Put it this way. Let's just say you've been working outdoors all day. Let's say you've been working in a garage, and you've got grease all over you. And so you walk into the shower for exactly 5 seconds, let the body have the water run over you, and then you turn around and you walk out. Is your body clean? Absolutely not. So that little trick of cleaning an avocado properly, or a plum, or anything that you're going to cut, that ensures that at least on the skin, you're not going to get it contaminated. And in restaurants, having owned 3 very successful restaurants, I can tell you, even in my restaurants with my high standards of cleanliness and hygiene, I once caught one of the people taking, in rush hour, taking a whole case of organic lettuce and just dumping it in on the table. And I said, what are you doing? We got a backup. I said, no. Every single leaf of that has to be cleaned. That's the protocol. The people can wait. Give them another appetizer as a gift, so that they have something to eat, And then I showed him once again how to massage the leaves, rinse, and then soak it, agitate it, rinse again. When you go into the average restaurant, you think they do that? Good luck on that. But this is for you to learn. Also, a study reveals the environment and our behavior contributes to almost, you ready for this, 80% of cancers. This comes from good research done out at Stony Brook University. A team of researchers from Stony Brook University has found quantitative evidence proving that there's a high risk of environmental exposure to chemicals in our environment. By the way, that include pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, and the development of the vast majority, nearly 70 to 90% of cancers. Whoa. But our behavior also contributes. And that means having negative, toxic, depressive, anxious, stressed behaviors also contributes to cancer. The two together are deadly. I would add in there should be a third, and that should be the diet in the amount of cancer-causing agents like heterocyclic amines from all the meats and of all the animal proteins that are cooked, and then the acrylamides from all the browned products like potato chips and french fries and pretzels and toast. All right, and you put all that together, yeah, 90% to even 95% of cancers could be prevented. And this was done at the Medicine, Pathology, and Biochemistry Division. So something to think about. So that's the latest on health and healing. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a break now. Our callback number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Please write that down. And when we come back, I won't be in video streaming, but I'll be right here on the mic. And we're going to take on some really important issues. For example, I'm going to take on the latest report on the Arctic report card. Reveals a human story of cascading disruptions, extreme events, and global connections that is now tipped. Because no one, and I mean no one, wanted to stop long enough to ask themselves, what in my life, of all the things I'm doing and possessing and using, what is contributing to that phenomena? Do you think that those 100 more or less people killed the other day in a state that historically doesn't have hurricanes or tornadoes coming through and killing them? Do you think that that was not due to global warming and the consequences? Almost everything today is, all over the world. So I'm going to deal with that and a lot more. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting throughout the world. Please share the information. Back in a moment. And just in a moment, we're going to go to a part two of a conversation with Professor of Clinical Psychology at the University of Ghent in Belgium. He also has master's degrees in statistical research, and he specializes in psychological development of totalitarian states and mass hypnosis and the psychology of objectivity. He is Professor Matthias, M-A-T-T-I-A-S, Desmet, D-E-S-M-E-T. We'll hear from him in just a few moments. But first, I want to take a look at some of the other things that I believe we should be giving some energy to and interest in. And one of them is that the FDA has approved a lot of drugs that could be repurposed to treat people infected with COVID-19. This is from a peer review publication done through the University of Manchester in Great Britain. So the study shows that several medications can inhibit virus replication in human cells. Now, this is directly from the department. They're saying that despite the development of SARS-2 vaccines, effective therapeutics are needed until worldwide immunity has been achieved. A study published in PLOS Pathogens by Dr. Adam Pickard and Dr. Carl Kadler from the University of Manchester and their colleagues show that the FDA has a lot of approved drugs that we should be using, and we're not. Now, there are countries that are using ivermectin because they've been using it for decades, and it's inexpensive, under a dollar tablet. In Africa, in India, South America, where malaria and parasitic infections, schistosomiasis, are common, it saves lives, countless lives. But then other doctors have been using it from the beginning of the pandemic and find that it also saves lives and gets people over their COVID symptoms very quickly. The earlier it's used, the better. It can even be used in high-risk people prophylactically. So a whole lot of people are now saying this from around the world, but no one, and here's the interesting point, no one in the mainstream media is even bringing this up as a suggestion. Why? Who could control hundreds of journalists and thousands of specialists and tens of thousands of advisors who have a background and could know the truth, but not a word is being shared in the media or examples of how people could benefit by taking this, because if they did this, then people would question the vaccines. But I publish this, and everything I share, I publish. Now, another thing that's important, I mentioned about the Arctic, and the Antarctic is right beside it, and Greenland is beside it. These are where the largest amounts of ice are maintained in the world. Glaciers are secondary, and glaciers are melting all over the world. But what is causing this? Release of methane, and methane is far, far more prevalent in the warming gases coming out of the permafrost in the famous boreal forest across the northern hemisphere, and in Siberia in particular. And yet, we're not paying attention to it. Well, how about this? This year, at the Arctic Circle, they hit a 100-degree day. That's something you would expect in the Mediterranean. That means that right now, global warming is 700% higher there than elsewhere in the world. And what happens there spreads. And there are a lot of reasons. I'm only going to focus for just a moment on one that we could deal with. And that is how many hundreds of billions of dollars per year are earned by the meat and dairy industries, the fish industries, pork industries, that if we understood that we don't need these to survive and be healthy, to the contrary, they're either highly allergenic or they're actually causing disease. But according to Common Dreams, in an article by Jessica Corbett, quote, meat and dairy industry fanning the flames of climate and biodiversity crisis, bolstering the case for urgent policy change, the sector's top 20 companies collectively produce more planet heating emissions than some fossil fuel giants in European countries. A report released Tuesday by European campaigners highlight how the global industrial and animal farming sector, backed by billions from major financial institutions, is fueling the intertwined climate and biodiversity crisis, and what policymakers can do better to protect people and the planet. And this was also produced by what is called Meat Atlas. And the figures are there. So let's take the larger overview. The larger overview is we have 10 times more animals being grown each year on factory farms for human consumption than we have human beings on the total planet. We're approaching 8 billion people. Gives you an idea of the magnitude. These animals secrete methane, many of them. Methane is very, very common denominator when it comes to creating global warming of the whole planet. You're seeing the results in Tennessee, you're seeing them in Kentucky, you're seeing them in Kansas, California, and you can see extremes hot and extremes cold, extreme rain and extreme drought. They're all caused by the same phenomena, extreme hurricanes. And yet, we're not doing the right thing. We do not have a program to educate people about how to go to a healthier, and all the science, literally all the science, shows that a healthier diet is a plant-based diet. or the second diet would be a Mediterranean diet. And instead, all of the ads show even more animal proteins being offered to us. You know, now you get a pizza that was no longer good enough to cause, you know, your sinus to run for the next 3 days and your eyes to puff up when you wake up in the morning and mucus to excrete from all your orifices for 3 weeks. No, this, now you got to have the cheese inside the, in the crust. And then someone has the cheese in the crust, someone else has to have the cheese in the bottom of the crust. And then you have to show the stringy cheese. And that's what people are conditioned to believe is what they want. Or have some more dead meat that won't go bad. It'll be around in 2,000 years. You won't be, but it will. You know, that's salami. So when a person sees this enough times, at a certain point of seeing it, their mind then becomes conditioned to accepting it. It's like the big lie. Tell a lie enough times, and people then just say, well, yeah, it's the truth. No, it's a lie. So until we as individuals can start to make changes in our diet as we see fit in an appropriate manner that doesn't overwhelm us. But the goal is within 1 year to become 100% vegan. Is it doable? Absolutely. Are there guidelines? Are there books, articles, documentaries? Hundreds on the topic. So you have no problem finding support systems to help you make that transition. But it still comes down to you wanting to try something that will save your life, encourage health, longevity, but also the planet's. So behind the scenes, at all these, you know, big environmental conferences, who do you think is sponsoring? Who do you think is paying for the tables? The so-called green energy, or the new sustainable farming, which is really not sustainable at all. They're gaslighting all this. They're making something seem better than what it is. They're hiding behind a favorable name, Friends of the Environment, or whatever it is, you know, healthier eating. And it's all sponsored by the people like Bill Gates and people who want to buy large tracts of land and plant genetically engineered seeds that they can control the crop, the price of the crop. Because when you can control what people eat, you control the people. When you control their access or cost of water, you control the people. And the same people trying to control water are controlling land and controlling food. And guess what one of the biggest new investment cycle phenomena is? And this is where Wall Street is starting all these companies that will go out there and buy huge tracts of natural land where they can put in their agriculture or whatever they want to put there, and they can use eminent domain to take your property and to do with it what they want. That's what's in the works right now. And yet it's being positioned by the World Economic Forum as a good thing. It's not a good thing. Nothing the World Economic Forum is suggesting is a good thing. Just the facts alone. You don't need to eat anything that has a heartbeat or a face to live a long and healthier life. To the contrary. Do it right, and you'll live a longer and healthier life. So that's where we have to start. And by the way, all those banks that tell us how conscientious they are about the environment, who do you think is funding big oil, big gas, big agriculture, and big coal? It's Wall Street. Wall Street has no ethics whatsoever. Just want to share that with you. Also, there's a group we have not heard from. I've not seen any of them interviewed on any of the major forums, and we should. The National Black Caucus of the Green Party of the United States. Because they're saying, quote, and I read their report, vaccine mandates, quote, vile, unconstitutional, immoral, unscientific, and discriminatory, end quote. And we've published this so you can see it for yourself. Well, most people don't even know what the Green Party is. Most people don't even know who their candidates are or any of their policies. Now, there are things with the Green Party I would share a difference of opinion on, and there are things we certainly would share in common. But clearly, when you have voices who are saying, hold on a second, you got this wrong, hear us out, we've done our homework, and yet today there's no debate, no open dialogue, no civility in sharing ideas. It's just you're either on our side or you're the enemy. And that is being pushed by the woke culture in every different form they can. So I just want to show you that the National Black Caucus of the Green Party is a viable voice, and they're saying what the Black Caucus in Congress should be saying, and many, many African-Americans, Latinos, and others, people are saying that these vaccines, whether I'm pro or not vaccine, which they'll tell you, most people are, on this vaccine, I'm seeing too much information that concerns me, so I'll wait until I feel that the science is in, independent science, that is not influenced by profit-making, to tell me whether it's safe or effective. And that's why a lot of doctors, nurses are saying no. It's not because they're Trump supporters. They're not. In fact, I'll tell you how tone-deaf Hillary Clinton and all the people with the Democratic National Group are. They're assuming that they can just say anyone who doesn't get a vaccine is a right-wing radical a Trump supporter. Who do you think got Trump elected? The actual white supremacist figure at maximum is 6% of the people voting for him. So who are the other 94? How about an awful lot of unionists and Democrats, card-carrying Democrats and liberals, who believed completely in Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and all the other initiatives until they saw that all these were lying. They represented corporate America. And just ask yourself, I was talking with a unionist, and he said, well, how does someone go from earning a legislator's salary, the House or the Senate, and end up owning $100 million in worth, like Nancy Pelosi, or making $100 million after you leave office, like Barack Obama and his wife, or Hillary Clinton and her husband? Those are not given to them because of some meritocracy. They're given because it's quid pro quo. You give to us legislation. You block certain legislation. You block certain conditions that we don't like. And we'll see that the rest of your life, whenever you want to do a stupid little lecture that nobody cares about, that's completely boring, and earn $500,000, and you can do as many as you want, come to us. That's how the game is played. So, just want to let you know, the people you thought were exercising intelligent insights on your behalf are not. Very interesting statement from on the pandemic. Listen carefully. Quote, the pandemic will end when we turn off our screens. Who said that? The British Medical Journal. Yeah. The pandemic will end when society decides to resume normal life rather than waiting for COVID dashboards to register zero cases, said the authors of an article published Tuesday in the British Medical Journal and reported by Children's Health Defense Team. According to them, the pandemic, quote, will end when society decides to resume normal life rather than waiting for the dashboard to register zero cases. Pandemic dashboards provide endless fuel for news coverage, ensuring the constant newsworthiness of the COVID-19 pandemic, even when the threat is low, end quote. So says Dr. Peter Doshi, British Medical Journal senior editor, and Dr. David Robinson, Princeton University. Quote, in doing so, they might prolong the pandemic by curtailing a sense of closure or return to pre-pandemic life, end quote. I would say that's certainly correct, but I would go one step further. We should have a worldwide campaign of prevention and building up the person's immune system of all ages, especially those who are most vulnerable. I think that would make an enormous difference. Also, one more that I'll give you insights on here. This is Congress cashes in. This is interesting. And by the way, this is from LightSight News. Report finds dozens of D.C. lawmakers held shares in vaccine companies. Quote, quote, "The data have raised serious ethical concerns, prompting questions about how much government actors stand to profit from coercive COVID-19 jab mandates. A Business Insider analysis has shown that at least 75 federal legislators held stock in Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer in 2020. The three companies are responsible for producing the experimental COVID-19 injections. Meanwhile, the paper trail shows big pharma corporations shelled out millions of dollars to finance electoral campaigns and lobby the federal government. The data raised serious ethical concerns about the objectivity of the legislature, prompting questions about how much government actors can stand to profit." All right? Well, we know. All you have to do is look at the things they won't take on, like they refuse to get rid of the 230 clause that protects all the platforms from being sued. Take that away and they'll go out of business, which they should. We don't need them. They're corrupt. They're vile. And yet, that's what preventing. When I was asking Dr. Brian Hooker, who interviewed Dr. William Thompson at the CDC, about the infamous conversation he had, and from then on he started recording it, where Thompson started admitting a mea culpa, we were corrupt, in effect. We took information that the MMR vaccine would cause a 324% increase in autism in African-American young children, 36 males, 36 months and younger, and we destroyed it. Now, that's obstruction of justice. That's a felony. And they hid this information, and everyone up the chain knew this. He even talked over the phone how they brought black garbage bags into his office and threw all the data in there. And he was the only one who didn't, because he thought, what if I have to go before Congress or go before a Freedom of Information Act committee and say we have no records, when what would have happened to the records? But then ask yourself, when a member of Congress, Representative Posey from Florida, tried to get congressional hearings, nobody would sponsor a hearing on it. Nobody. Democrat or Republican. Because they're all controlled by Big Pharma. Because if he had to go under oath and talk about how dangerous the MMR vaccines were, a mandatory vaccine, and how many children are suffering from autism and other abnormalities because of it, all those vaccines would be shut down tomorrow. And we would be a hell of a lot healthier nation because of it. But that didn't happen. And it won't happen. So you see, they make money. They can sit on meetings that the public can't hear, nobody can hear about, where there's a merger between two companies. They buy stock in both companies before the merger. It's announced and suddenly the stock goes through the roof. That's an insider trading. If you or I did it, you'd be arrested for insider trading. Insider trading, in effect, is exactly what they're doing, because they're trading on information that they have privilege to that the average citizen doesn't. And that's considered legal. Wow, what a cesspool. And yet you'll believe a legislator when you hear him on television or her on television talking about something that you know is a lie. Now, we're going to go to our... Oh, by the way, we have also published today a chart from Real Science. And it's the actual science. 326 athlete cardiac arrests. These are in completely healthy, normal athletes, young. Serious seizures, and 182, three of them have died after taking the COVID vaccine. Any report on it? 60 Minutes, 2020, Dateline, Nightline, anyone? No. Any congressional hearing on it? No. Any news on it? No. But here you'll hear it. And you can download the documentation for yourself. This is just the beginning. I don't know how many athletes, unfortunately, will die, but it's going to be an awful lot. Now we're going to go to Dr. Matthias Desmond, talking about totalitarianism and mass formation. And you've probably never heard of mass formation. That's how a large group of people are conditioned to believe what someone in power wants them to believe in. This is part two. Rodney?
Casualties than the virus could claim. So in March, as early as March 2020, the United Nations already warned us that there could be more people dying from hunger in developing countries as a consequence of the lockdowns than the virus could claim, even in the worst case scenario, if nothing, if no measures at all were taken, which at that moment, which shows that in one way or another, the field of attention of the entire world seems to be very narrow and focused only on the victims the virus could claim, as if all the rest did not count anymore. In one way or another, people were not able to see other problems and collateral damage, for instance, of the corona measures. And that's what, at that moment, at the end of May 2020, I started to switch perspectives. I started to primarily take the perspective of a clinical psychologist rather than the perspective of a statistician. Because for me, at that moment, it was entirely clear that the crisis we were going through in the first place was a mental psychological crisis and not a biological crisis or a problem with the virus.
Interesting, very interesting. Obviously, I think a lot of people are aware that there's more damage being done by the measures than by the virus. And then what did you find?
Yes. So I started to think like how I could understand what was going on at the psychological level in our society and in the world. And I ended up actually at a certain moment, I understood that what was going on in the world was a large scale process of what is usually called mass formation, so crowd formation. And crowd formation or mass formation is a specific kind of group formation that emerges in a society under very specific conditions, when four specific conditions are met. And the first of these conditions is that there should be a lot of people who experience a lack of social bond, who feel socially isolated. And there was indeed research that showed that over 50% of the people mentioned that they did not have one meaningful, good contact with someone else in the months before the corona crisis. So this first condition, this lack of social bond, is really the most important and the most central condition. And from this first condition, this lack of social bond, follows the second condition, which is that there should be a lot of people who experience a lack of meaning making in life, for whom their life seems senseless or meaningless. And that was also something that that could be observed in a very straightforward way. For instance, more than 40% of the people considered their job completely meaningless. I think this research was done somewhere around 2015, and things got even worse in the years after that research. So we have a lot of people with lack of social bond, a lot of people with a lack, who experience a lack of meaning making in life. And then you have the third condition, which is that there should be a lot of what psychologists often call free floating anxiety in society, which means a lot of anxiety or psychological discontent that is not connected to a representation, which means that people experience a kind of anxiety. People feel anxious without knowing what they feel anxious for. So that's something very specific. It's a very painful psychological condition, because if you feel anxiety and you cannot connect it to a certain object or to a certain mental representation, the anxiety seems uncontrollable. It is as if you have no mental control on this anxiety. So, and that was the third condition, a lot of free-floating anxiety and a lot of psychological discontent, which was also really present in our society in a small country such as Belgium. Every year, 300 million doses of antidepressants were used. 300 million doses on a population of about 11 million. So that's unbelievable, actually.
What?
Yeah, yes, yes, 300 million doses. And then we are talking only about antidepressants. There are also antipsychotics, and there are all kinds of psychopharmaceuticals. Yeah. But if you're talking only about antidepressants, 300 million doses a year. So that's huge. And then the fourth condition is that there should be a lot of free-floating frustration and aggression. So when actually all these conditions are connected to each other, you have the lack of social bond to begin with. From the lack of social bond follows a lack of meaning making. And if people experience a lack of meaning making and the lack of social bond, they will also develop high levels of free-floating anxiety. And consequently, because the situation is very painful or the psychological condition is very painful, also a lot of frustration and aggression that they cannot.
Okay. Brain Insights explains a lot. We'll continue sharing parts of this. He'll be on live on our program, being interviewed by us, hopefully next week. Denise from Brooklyn, your turn. You're on the air.
Hello, Gary. Thanks for being such a good, well-informed person who helps everybody. I have low blood pressure from medication and from my high blood pressure, too. And medication was changed. I had such low blood pressure. Went to the hospital. They gave me a defibrillator. Is it safe to remove it?
No, you can never remove a medical device or even stop an important medication, whether it's insulin, Paxil, or a blood pressure lowering medication without your doctor. My suggestion would be, however, that you get yourself into the hands of a good quality, holistic medical doctor, one who they're trained in using all the regular medications, but rather begins to wean you off gradually and safely, at the same time seeing that your blood pressure levels, blood sugar levels, other levels in your body are being equalized. So nothing is done radically, and then start to implement a lifestyle modification. You might want to call Luann or someone who can guide you into that, and then you'll start to see that what before had been needed because of limitations of the lifestyle now can be redone. So the good news is a lot of people with high blood pressure, low blood sugar, high blood sugar, hypoglycemia, can revert these back to a normal state. The idea in these ads on television that once you have a disease, you have it forever is simply not true. We've brought hundreds of people on. In fact, as we speak right now, our new archivist, who's working every day watching films in the past, is collecting testimonials today, just today. And we have over 1,000 testimonials from clinical studies showing you people who had conditions you would not believe could be improved, let alone reversed. And they are completely normal. And we're going to post these within the next 2 weeks. There'll be somewhere between 1,000 to 2,000 testimonials initially, a lot more than that. Probably have closer to 20,000 when it's all done. And then we're going to categorize them by topic: cancer, heart disease, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, etc. So just remember, keep the faith. You can get into the right hands, then you have the right support system. They give you the right insights, then you have the knowledge to work with. You get a good support system, then you can do this. In fact, every week in Central Park, there is a lot of other people meet at 90th Street and Fifth Avenue, and they learn how to walk. And my goodness, I recently saw a Gladys at the last anti-aging retreat, her and her husband. I couldn't believe it. Gladys, I've known Gladys for, 40 years, her and her husband. And she's always had some challenges with weight, and she has lost all that weight step by step. So if one person could do it, you can do it. But don't do anything on your own, okay? And there's a list of holistic doctors in the New York area, if you're living in the New York area and you are in Brooklyn. Pauline from Flushing. Your turn, Pauline. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. Thank you. And it was a blessing that I met you all those years ago at a support group for the mental, you know, mental health support group, and you came in and talked about alternatives, but you mainly talked about AIDS, but which is fine. I needed somebody to agree with me that I wasn't crazy. And so I walked away from the group and took a woman along with me, and she took herself off the drugs, and I felt like I helped one person because of you, and she was at the meeting too. So I think, you know, you shifted both of us. And the reason I'm calling is because on Sunday, on my birthday, I decided I would like to take an antigen test just to see if I've been exposed. Do you hear anything bad about that test? Is there anything, like, is it from China? I'm not even sure. I'm going to ask before I let them prick my finger. And they told me they're going to throw away all the samples. That's what I wanted to be sure of, because I will not allow them to have my
blood. No, first of all, there's nothing dangerous about it that I'm aware of. I do not like, and it's far more accurate for what you want to test for than the PCR test, especially if the PCR test is above, let's say, 26 cycles. If it's above 26 cycles, and almost all of them were above 40 cycles, then you're going to have a huge false positive declarations on people, and that's going to stay with you. And you don't want that, because then officially you're designated as a case and simply been exposed to an antigen, even if it's completely harmless in your body and it's 20 years old. But you want to get the right test. There's no chemical in there. When they jab that up into your nose, that's not safe, because you could puncture a membrane up there. Fortunately, it hasn't happened to most people, and I'm glad of that. But the accuracy of the test is what I'm concerned with. But the antigen test, I have no knowledge where it's dangerous at all. And the feedback that they give you can set your mind at rest. Okay? So don't, no problem with that. Thank you. Billy from New Jersey. Hi, Billy. Your turn.
How are you? Thanks for all you do. A question. What if you have to take the vaccine, whether your job depends on it or whatever? Are there any protocols you can take before and after to sort of counteract the effects as best as possible?
There's a discussion now throughout the world about what can you do if you have to take it, your very question. And they're suggesting that, you know, go ahead and take the things you would normally take to protect your immune system, and they may or may not be right. Now, if you study immunity, and even in a lay language, you can study immunity and understand about your innate immune system and lymphocytes, phagocytes, etc., you realize that there's no greater protection you can ever receive in fighting against something like this than your natural overall immune system, which means you really got to keep yourself healthy. So getting as healthy as you can makes a difference. But then we're seeing that athletes in the young part of life with no comorbidities are dropping dead. I gave you the figures today. Those are official figures. Now, so what if you get the vaccine because you say, it's my job, you know, or the possible risk of a downside effect, and then you have to make that decision for yourself. My decision, if I was forced with that, I would move to a state that I was not forced or coerced by the government to violate the sanctity of my body. And I'm pro-vaccines, but I'm pro-safe vaccines. And until such time they can meet my standards of what constitutes a safe and effective vaccine, I'm not going to take it. However, look carefully at the consequences and ask yourself, because only you can, what happens if it goes sideways? Now, with some medications and some conditions, we can take you through a step-by-step detoxification process. But unfortunately, there's no protocol that I'm aware of right now that can detoxify the spike protein, not the virus. Viruses can all be destroyed at varying levels with varying protocols. We did it. I did it at the Tri-State Healing Center, and before that, with protocols I was giving people with intravenous vitamin C and ozone and bitter melon juice, et cetera, et cetera. So we got rid of the viruses and strengthened their immune system. But you can't do that same protocol. And I've looked, because that spike protein is going to stay in you for a substantial longer period of time than what we've been led to believe. That is not good. So I believe that the decision shouldn't be keep my job and get the vaccine or risk possible downside effects with a vaccine, I think you have to look at it another way. Where else in America could I live, have a quality of life, have freedom, and not be rushed, and try to build up my natural immunity? Because we're all going to come face to face with these viruses at some point in our life. So when I am infected, I then am naturally infected. I survive it. It's a weaker variant, which most tend to be. There are exceptions. Most tend to be weaker and weaker and weaker until finally it no longer kills itself out, because nobody is going to be taken down with it as a percentage of the population. So that's the question I would be asking. I think you're asking the wrong question, because too many people are saying, well, I got to, you know, take the vaccine to keep my job. But then again, we have seen a lot of people, tens of thousands in the United States, that's minimum, who kept their job and lost their life, or kept their job and lost their health. And what do you think they're thinking every day when they're sitting alone, no one paying for any of their bills, their medical bankruptcy, they're probably going to be foreclosed on, and only had they done it differently? These are the moments that you have to dig deeper into your capacity to change your life in order to save your life. Thank you for your call. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.